Well, good morning, everybody. If you came in a little bit late, my name is Trevor Kaufman, and I'm the campus pastor here at South Creek, and we are a campus of Revive Wesleyan. And I'm just excited as we are really going to dive in this morning to our series called Sincerely, in which we are looking at the book of 1 Peter. Now, the worship team and band have set us up beautifully to really unpack what we're going to talk about this morning, as we've just sung a lot about what we're going to be learning about. And so I'm just so excited and blessed to be a part of this place here, and just the presence of God in this room right now is just really, really, really incredible. So I hope you're excited as well. And so we're going to be diving into 1 Peter, like I said. And so last week we sort of introduced it with the first couple of verses, and today we're going to kind of dive in a little stronger with that. And just to give you an idea, somewhat of an overarching theme that you're going to see throughout the book of 1 Peter is this theme of suffering. And so you're going to hear that kind of again and again over the course of the next few weeks. And so we're going to look at that from a few different angles and perspectives. And so just to give you a heads up on that. And you may be in a season of suffering right now, or you may not be. But either way, we have a lot to learn from what Peter has to say to the early church. And so we'll unpack that a little bit more in just a bit. But before that, we're just coming off of the Christmas season. Many of you probably had white elephant gift exchanges at some point. And so I kind of want to ask you a question. Have you ever received, and maybe you received one recently, a strange gift? Anybody ever receive a strange gift? I'm sure you have. And you probably received it in some sort of a gift exchange like that. Or maybe completely unrelated to that. Just recently, my parents retired and downsized and moved from Wisconsin to Florida. And as they did that, they sold a bunch of the stuff that they had, and they gave a bunch of it away. And I happened to be the recipient of a bunch of tools that my dad had. They used to have like this 3 or 4 car garage. It was enormous. And he had it filled with tools. Tools that I never thought any human being would ever need to use unless you were like a full-time mechanic. But he had them. And so he's like, hey, I'm going to give you a bunch of them. So of course I had them all, and now they're all in my garage. And he gave me all this stuff. And I'm like, Dad, I don't know where I'm ever going to use half this stuff. It's never going to happen, right? So one of the things he gave me was this. Now, many of you, if you are mechanically inclined at all, probably know what this is. I, however, did not. And so hopefully, most of you don't know either, because otherwise this is not very strange, but to me it was strange. So this is what is known as a tap and die set. How many people in here know what that is? Okay, that's fine. That's good. I was hoping that it was no more than that. So this is what this thing looks like, okay, right? Yeah. So for those of you who don't know what this is, you probably were just as like confused as I was when I got this. He's like, yeah, you'll use this. I'm like, I won't. And so interestingly enough, what it is it's a set of tools. It's a set of tools that help you re-thread nuts and bolts that you may have stripped. And so I'm like, that's great, Dad, but you know what? If I do that, I'm going to probably buy a brand new nut and bolt for 90 cents down at the hardware store, right? However, a few weeks later, I was doing something in which the bolt I was, you know, stripping at the time was welded to something else. That's when this comes in handy really well. Right? And so all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, I'm like, this random strange gift that my dad gave me, here I am using it, and it's been amazing ever since. So, and I've used many other tools since then as well that he's given me that I never thought I would use. It was amazing. About 1 to 2 weeks after he gave me all these tools, I used several of them and never thought I would have to. So anyway, strange gifts, right? We all have strange gifts once in a while. Maybe yours isn't tools, but for me, it was. So that'll come in handy in just a little bit. It'll make sense to what I'm talking about, all of this for now. So, but back to 1 Peter and back to the book we're going to be looking at this morning. Again, he talks a lot about suffering. And you and I, at different times in our life, have different difficulties and circumstances that cause us to suffer. They may be related to our faith, but they may just be related to the sinful nature of the world that we live in, right? Or poor decisions we've made, or poor decisions somebody else made. And so all situations like being behind on the bills, challenges at work, maybe rocky relationships or a struggling marriage, hard stages of parenting, maybe moments of feeling purposeless or lonely, or challenges with physical or mental health. All of these things can sort of set us into seasons of suffering. And if you compound them on top of each other, you really set yourself up for seasons of suffering. Now, Peter understood this full well, And as he's writing his letter to the churches of the early church, I'll give you some context in that in just a minute, he doesn't disregard the fact that we all go through hardships. He doesn't sugarcoat them or try to avoid them. But what he does is he gives all of us, he gives the early church and you and me, godly perspective and godly encouragement. Godly perspective and godly encouragement. And so that's what we're going to see this morning as we dive in to this book. Now, to give you some further context of this letter, it was written about 60 AD, and it was written, we mentioned this last week, I've sort of already said it today, it was written to the early churches that were mostly planted and started off by the Apostle Paul. And so Peter is now encouraging them as they are starting to experience harassment and ridicule and slander for their faith specifically, and it was only going to get worse. These churches were located in what we would call today our modern Turkey. And also Nero at that time was the Roman emperor. And Nero was cracking down on Christianity in general. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. He wanted these people gone. And he was coming to the point where he was actually tightening the ropes down so much on Christians that he was starting to persecute them, arrest them, and even put them to death. And so persecution was huge, and it was going to continue to get worse. And so we think about the things that we suffer through and struggle with in life, and oftentimes we think, well, it's not that bad at least, and we don't have to worry about coming to worship publicly in a setting like this. Nobody's going to come in. We may get picked on for it or looked down upon, but most likely our lives aren't at stake for coming to worship together in a place like this. Interestingly enough, though, there are places in the world in which this does still occur. In fact, we actually partner with ministries in India, and they are going through a very similar time as the early church was going through under the rule of Nero. Their new president has been trying to eradicate Christianity. He's cracking down on it. He wants it to be gone from the country of India. And even when we send teams over there, we have to go over there like indiscreetly with false itineraries and all sorts of crazy things, because pastors in these rural villages are being attacked, arrested, pulled out, and even killed at times. So it's very similar to what's going on here. And so the reality of suffering and persecution is all over the place, and we need to be reminded of that. And I wanted to encourage you this morning, because you and I probably are not experiencing that type of suffering or that level of suffering. But whatever it is that we're going through, whether it's significant or not to the world around us, it's always significant to us. The moments that we are going through, the relationships we're struggling with, the challenges at work, at school, with friends, whatever it is, it's real and it seems massive to you and I in the moment we're going through it. So much so that it's often very difficult to pick our head up and look beyond it. And that's where Peter understands the same reality and encourages the church that they can move forward. They can pick their head up. There is more to it than what their circumstances are showing them. So we're going to start here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Again, we read the first couple verses last week. We had a great time with the children in the services last week. And we're going to be in verse 3 right here. Let me read this, as there is a ton packed into these two verses that we're going to unpack a little bit. And we just sang about a lot of it. So Peter says this. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." So, a lot going on in here. And what we see first is this concept of new birth. God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, in his great mercy, has given us new birth. Now, we obviously are all physically born, right? Pretty much of a Captain Obvious statement right there. We celebrate it every year during our birthday. We're born, great, fantastic, we've been physically born. But Peter is reminding the church and you and I today that we have also been spiritually reborn, if we have chosen to acknowledge Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. When we put our faith in Jesus as the Son of God, our spirits are reborn because we receive the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus Christ himself. We die to ourselves and our sin and are made alive in Jesus Christ. And so this is the symbol that we see take place when we celebrate baptism. When somebody goes beneath the water, it's a symbol that they are dying to themselves and their sin. And as they are raised out of the water, they are reborn spiritually and washed clean of their sin because of what Jesus Christ has done. Now, the other interesting thing that ties physical birth and spiritual birth together is the fact that there is suffering involved in both of those. Now, women in this room who have had children understand this far more than I can tell you from experience, but there is significant suffering involved in a physical birth. And so there's pain. It's actually a consequence of the sin in the Garden of Eden, as God tells the woman, part of your punishment is pain in childbirth. And so this is a reality that now we live in because of the fallen world we live in, but there is pain and suffering involved in physical birth. But then there's that moment in which it's all gone, in which this child is born and the mother takes this newborn baby in her arms. And it's almost like the suffering didn't even matter, didn't even occur. It was only temporary. It was almost momentary. But now, when you and I are spiritually reborn, this temporary aspect of suffering is at play even right now. We are still waiting for Jesus to come back a second time and make all things right. But as we are born spiritually, we have the ability to walk with Jesus and walk through the power of his Holy Spirit in all of life's circumstances. And at times will include suffering. But that suffering is only temporary because we have something eternal to look forward to. And we're going to get to that more in just a minute. So we're going to kind of expand this phrase this morning as we walk through this, but I want you to understand that suffering does not define you, first of all. Your circumstances that you're currently in now do not define who you are. So suffering does not define you, new birth does. And we're going to continue to expand this phrase. Suffering does not define you, new birth does. And I love here that Peter focuses on our identity in Jesus Christ, because I don't know about you, but when we're going through seasons of suffering or struggle or heartache, it's very difficult to look beyond that, as I've already sort of mentioned, and think that that's what's defining us, but it's Jesus who defines us. In those seasons of suffering, we have a hard time knowing which direction to go and what lies ahead. The pain makes it so difficult to see the future, and that's where this next phrase becomes so uplifting. And we just sang about it in the song. And as I continue, it says this: in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. New birth into a living hope. Now, I don't know what really can combat the disorienting and disheartening dark clouds of suffering more than hope. I think when we're going through the worst and darkest seasons of our life, it's often the lack of hope that makes it even worse. But Jesus offers us hope. And I'm not talking about some distant, far-off idea of hope. This is a living hope that we just sang about. A living hope, as Peter describes. And we have this because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can look at who he was, what he said, and what he did, and come away from that reality so hopeful, no matter what life looks like right now. We can trust his words. We can trust his promises. We know that he is true. We have seen him prove himself in Scripture. And hopefully we can look back in our lives and see how he has shown up in the past and how he's going to continue to show up in the midst of our current circumstances and into the future. So as we continue to build this phrase, suffering does not define you, new birth into a living hope does. And here's the interesting thing. This hope, this living hope we're talking about, came to us by the way of suffering. And we talked and sang about this already. Jesus Christ had to suffer first and foremost so that you and I could experience any sense of hope in this world right now. He suffered as he walked this life with his disciples and in many different varieties, but he truly suffered as he was persecuted, as he was arrested, as he was beaten, and as he was ultimately crucified and died. But then he defeats death and he's risen again. And then he ascends into heaven, and that is why we have this living hope. It's living inside of us, and we have the ability to tap into that at any moment of any day because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, which is pretty strange way, when we talk about this word strange, a very strange way for us to acquire something so incredible and so positive and so hopeful It came from suffering. It came ultimately from death. So when we go back to our physical birth, we can move to this next phrase in the scripture that Peter talks about. It's this idea of inheritance. Now, you and I have all been physically born. We are all part of some sort of a family. And based on how well our parents saved or how well things have taken place in this world or how well our extended family has dealt with finances or their stuff or their material stuff, you and I have some sort of an earthly inheritance that we'll probably get in some way, shape, or form at some point in life. For some of us, it might be a lot. For some of us, it might not be much of anything. But either way, there's something there. But it's all circumstantial. But that's back to the physical world. But when we look at the spiritual world, as Peter acknowledges here, we have an eternal inheritance. An eternal inheritance that far outshines and outweighs anything that is going to take place or anything that we're ever going to receive here on earth, because all of those things are temporary and are going to fade away anyway. Peter describes this. He reads that this is safe and secure, that this eternal inheritance can never perish, spoil, or fade. It's kept in heaven for us. And here's the beautiful thing. It's not secured by our works or our ability. There's nothing we can do to lose or forget or mess up this inheritance. When you and I enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have this eternal inheritance sitting there and waiting for us in heaven. And that is ultimately to be with Jesus for all of eternity. And it's kept for us in place by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we think about suffering, and I want to acknowledge one thing here. The worst aspect, the worst example of suffering that any individual could ever experience in this world is eternally being separated from God. When you and I refuse to acknowledge Jesus as Savior, it's a free gift. He doesn't force us to make this choice. But if we say, you know what, I got this on my own, I'm going to be okay. I'll just deal with the things in this physical world, and I don't need to deal with anything in my afterlife. I don't know that there even is one, right? And so when we find ourselves in that moment, then we enter in, by rejecting Jesus Christ, we enter in to an eternity entirely separated from God. And you may think, well, I don't even know if God's real. I don't even know if that matters or not. But this is an eternity separated from light, from love, from grace, from mercy, from a hope. All of this stuff is who God is what he is. And apart from him, they do not exist. So an eternity apart from Jesus is the ultimate suffering. But if you and I have acknowledged Jesus as our Savior, that is a suffering we need fear not. It will never happen. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to think about that. Because our eternity is secure in heaven, and our eternity will be with Jesus for eternity, with light and love and power and majesty in the kingdom of God for all of eternity. So that's something we don't have to fear as followers of Jesus Christ, is this worst case suffering scenario. It will never come to pass for us, which I think is incredible. And I think probably the reason Peter begins this section saying, "Praise be to the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is such a powerful reality for everybody. And so as we finalize this statement, it says, "Suffering does not define you. New birth into a living hope and a secure inheritance does." That's what we can be reminded of, even in the darkest seasons of life. And so hopefully this allows you to raise your gaze from the nearsightedness that suffering can often cause us to go through in the midst of trials in our life. And so after giving us and the church this encouragement in general when it comes to suffering, he addresses their current situation. And we see this in verses 6 and 7. He says this, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." I mean, really think about what he's saying here right now. In fact, I'm going to read it one more time. In all of this suffering that you may be experiencing, and all of the suffering you will probably continue to experience, rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And so this is where Peter is suggesting, back to our strange gift earlier, he's suggesting that our temporary sufferings are in fact a strange gift. The trials and issues that you and I go through in life are in fact a gift. I mean, this is like, doesn't make any sense. The world outside of the church would be like, that makes no sense. It seems like you're cursed. It seems like you're being punished. But it in fact can actually be a gift. Just as gold is refined when it's put through extreme temperatures, think about this. All of the impurities of our faith are stripped away when we are pushed and pressed. Meaning all the facades that we often put up, the going through the motion aspects of our faith, the superficial niceness that we plaster all over the gospel is burned away. And the result is just simply sincere, honest praise and glory and honor to Jesus and not to ourselves. Because we realize that we are just simply human and we will be broken at times and we will struggle at times. But God is still in control of all of it. Now, seeing suffering as a strange gift is a total change in perspective. And we talked about this godly perspective and this godly encouragement. And it might take a bit to wrap your head around that type of a concept. But it's found all throughout Scripture, and we see it take place all the time. I just started this. I'm trying to journey through the Bible this year, and every couple years I try and go back and read through the entire Bible. And it takes some time, but it's about 20 minutes a day. And I've started this current plan on YouVersion called, you may have heard of this, it's been kind of going around, called the Bible Recap. Yeah, it's been outstanding so far. I'm 7 days in, I started on the first, and it is absolutely outstanding. And so it's a chronological walk and journey through the Bible, but in the end of each reading, which is about 15 minutes, there's about a 5-minute recap video that this woman sort of recaps what you read. And it is incredibly helpful. And interestingly enough, right now, we're looking through Job. Again, it's chronological, so it starts in Genesis, but Job is actually, scholars believe, written a bit earlier around the time of Genesis. There's not a specific date given to it, but so we're in Job right now, and this is exactly what we're talking about here. Job experienced extreme and great suffering, but still acknowledged the sovereignty of the Lord. Still acknowledged that even though he was going through these circumstances and situations, it wasn't God who caused them. He may have allowed them, but he's allowing to see and watch how Job is growing and developing through all of this. And he's one of the most extreme cases of suffering that we see in Scripture. But there's still a powerful outcome in the end. And you and I can experience that same thing even in the midst of our suffering. And so a New Testament version, an example of what we see this is actually Jesus' half-brother James. He writes us this, and it's a powerful passage, and it's actually the Message translation. This is really not a direct translation. It's more of a paraphrase, just so you know, but it says it really well. And James 1, verses 2 through 4 say this. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try and get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. I mean, those are powerful words when it comes to suffering. He's saying don't try and escape it. Don't try and run away from it. Allow God to use it to develop you and make you stronger. We see the Apostle Paul say this to the Romans in Romans as well. You see in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, we see all of this as well. It's all over Scripture. Our suffering, our circumstances can actually develop us and cause us to become better on the other side of it. And so the reality is that God is doing the work, even behind the scenes when we don't realize it. And at times it may feel like he's not there, but he is working in the midst of all of it. We can spend our lives resisting his work when it gets super painful and therefore stunt our spiritual growth as we try and flee from it or try and fix it on our own. Or we can allow him to actually shape us, making our faith more sincere and mature through the difficulties in life. Now, I'll be the first to acknowledge and admit it's a lot easier to talk about all of this than actually live it out, right? I can stand up here and tell you to be positive and hope-filled in the midst of your deepest and darkest moments in life. But until you're actually in them, it doesn't seem to be a reality. And so I just want to encourage you, if you are in them, you don't have to walk through this alone. We have ministries here that we can come alongside you with. We have people that want to pray for you and encourage you. There's all sorts of different things. And you can come to me if you need help in any of these circumstances or situations, and I can try and direct you to where to do that. And maybe you're not in a season of suffering right now. And even this morning in the Bible recap that I read, maybe you're not in a season of suffering right now, but maybe you can learn how to be compassionate or to listen to somebody else in the midst of their suffering. And so God is sovereign over all. And I want you to know, and I don't want you to think as we leave this morning, that God is forcing you and causing you to suffer through all of the situations in your life, that he's striking you down because he's angry or upset with you. This is a result. The suffering that we experience is a result of the fallen world we live in. It's the result of the ultimate original sin that took place in Genesis, and we are still dealing with that today. We have been given the ability to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ right here and right now and experience his hope and his healing and his grace and his mercy right here, right now, but we still live in a broken world. And so the brokenness around us can still actually even make us better if we allow God to work in and through it. Because there will be a day when Jesus comes back a second time and makes all things right. And there will be no more suffering. There will be no more heartache, no more crying, no more pain. And we will be with him for all of eternity. And suffering will fade away forever if we are in relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, again, this takes faith. This takes trust. And so I think it's incredible how Peter ends this passage in verses 8 and 9. He says it this way. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And so I want us together to actually read that out loud. We've adapted it to include we and our language. And so if you could stand with me, and maybe you're in a season of life right now where you're still not entirely sure that Jesus is who he says he is. You're not sure this is something that's for you. And so I would just encourage you to, even in your heart, pray through the words we're about to read and acknowledge that he is there. And he, even though we can't see him at times or it seems like he's distant, he is there, he is working. And he wants to develop you and pull you and draw you in to a powerful relationship with him. So let's read these words together as we conclude our time with one another. All right. Though we have not seen him, we love him. And even though we do not see him now, we believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For we are receiving the end result of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you are with us in the midst of suffering. You are with us in the seasons of life that seem so difficult. And so, Lord, I would ask that each and every one of us in this room would have a proper perspective of who you are. That we would be encouraged by the scripture and the truth that is found in it. That we would go to you in prayer and not just simply the things of this world to try and fix the issues that we have in life and the suffering that we're going through. And let us know that we are not alone as we are a part of your body, the body of Christ, represented here in this space. Let us know that as we walk through trials, tribulations, and struggling and suffering, you are walking through it with us. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's remain standing as we sing and declare this very truth as we worship together.